When we caught up with Raghavan Iyer at the end of 2022, it was to chat about curry in all its complexity and contradiction. Born in Mumbai, Raghavan moved at age 21 to Minnesota, where he fell in love and found his passion. Missing the food he'd eaten while growing up, he wrote letters to his family back home. They shared recipes and techniques that he in turn shared with Americans. This led to a brilliant career as the author of 6 critically acclaimed cookbooks and a James Beard Award. Last week, we heard the sad news that Raghavan had passed at age 61 of cancer. With his erudition and gentle wit, he was one of our favorite guests. I feel lucky I had a chance to speak with him about his final book on the curry trail. So, in honor of Raghavan Iyer and his legacy, we're sharing it with you once again. Hi, Raghavan.
Hi, Evan. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here. Do we know how far back curry dates in India?
In India, it dates back to about 3,000 to 4,000 years before Christ. And, you think back to one of the earliest civilizations known to mankind, Mohenjo-Daro and Harappa, which is, where India and part of Pakistan is located at now. And, we were roasting and grinding spices since then. And they all became the basis for many of our stews. And because, in curries in India, it has everything to do with the sauce. The book that I had authored a few years ago, 660 Curries, delved into the world of curries as witnessed in the Indian subcontinent, which included India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Nepal, and Bhutan.
And in this book, you do something a little different. You kind of take us on a trip of spice and sauce.
Yes, and this is, I've always said this is looking at the diaspora of curries and curry powders as seen through the eyes of the colonials. Because it really, I give credit to the British for coining the concept of curry powders. And that's what they spread to the rest of the world.
So often now when we think of curry of any kind, we think of red chili, we think of red pepper. But in fact, it was black pepper, the peppercorn, that catapulted curry around the globe.
Yes, and that's what the whole world came to India was or the black peppercorns. In fact, it was a long form of black pepper, piper nigrum, that they came to India for. And then, of course, they fell in love with black peppercorns, which also became a source of trading, especially, in England. People were paying rent with black peppercorns. And so the pungency and the complexity of curries, even to this day in southern India, actually comes with the prevalent usage of black peppercorns.
It must have been fascinating for you to do all this research and dip in so strongly to this idea of curry powder when it's so antithetical.
Yes.
To cooking on the subcontinent.
Yes, and it was a mind shift for me, especially when the first book was so adamant about what curries are to Indians, it flew in the face of earth of what I thought of curries. And so to, get into the world of curry powders, research was definitely the way to go. And I'd hired an incredible friend who used to work for NPR and an archivist, and she did a brilliant job in providing me information and materials on curries. And I always said, I gave her some specifics of how I wanted it. And she gave me a 400-page PDF with a 10-page glossary, which, and for me to take all of that and then condense it in the form of headnotes and stories was a challenge. But, I guess something good came off COVID, and it sort of forced me to work on it. And I wrote the book during a dark time in my life. And as you know, I've been living with cancer now for 4.5 years, metastatic cancer. And so the book I wrote, it was a diversion that I really needed. And, you know, I looked at how, you know, all the European countries came to India, you know, the Portuguese, the Spanish, the Danish, and then, of course, the English, and how they all left their mark in terms of what they wanted to leave in India. But more important, I mean, they got a lot out of India, you know, all the expensive jewelry and the gems and, of course, spices, which was a moneymaker for them. And even though India was in the spice trade years before that, along with the Buddhist monks, you know, that's why you look at the influence of Buddhism and the Far Eastern countries and how their food was a reflection of the utilization of spices. And you look at Thai curries, for instance, and how, you know, they defined their curries based on the kind of paste that they fashioned from a combination of dry and wet ingredients. So they came up with the concept of red, yellow, and green curry paste.
You say in the book that Thailand is the country outside of India most devoted to curry.
Yes. You know, I mean, that's where you also saw the influence of Buddhism and Hinduism, you know, to a big extent, and how they embraced the world of spices, and they incorporated their own fresh herbs like lemongrass and lime leaves and galangal root, and that all became bases of their curry paste.
The word authentic, especially when it comes to food, can be so loaded. And
yes.
Then there are the terms classic and traditional. Why do you shy away from all of these labels?
I hate them because, you know, they... when you're talking about a tradition, I always say, what tradition? You know, especially when India is an amalgamation of so many different cultures. Authentic, you know, what is that? I remember having a conversation with an Indian when I was in one of my book tours years ago. And he said, you know, what you're doing is not authentic Indian food. I said, can you define to me what is authentic Indian food? He goes, well, you know, my mother's cooking. And I said, well, I'm not your mother. And I said, you know, this is cooking that is versatile. So I prefer using the phrase dynamic.
I'd love to just talk about a few of the powders. You know, when I was growing up, the one curry powder that my mother had was Madras.
Yes.
Madras curry powder.
Uh-huh.
You say it's embarrassingly simple.
It is. And it's really a handful of, you know, grocery store spices. I mean, you're talking coriander, cumin, cinnamon, cardamom, peppercorns, chilies, you know, and nutmeg and ground ginger. And so by its nature, I think, you know, the availability of those ingredients, and all you really have to do is grind them, and you've got, you know, an aromatic blend that knocks your socks off. And I feel like, you know, it, like I've said in the book, I mean, if you don't have 5 minutes to spare, you know, you're missing out on something that is so exceptional. And it takes less, you know, 5 minutes to, you measure out your ingredients, you put them in a spice grinder, and you've got an amazing blend that can last you for months and create dishes that really sing with flavor.
That was Raghavan Iyer, who passed away at the end of March, discussing his final book, On the Curry Trail, Chasing the Flavor That Seduced the World. It came out in March. Next up, belly up to a bowl of the popular porridge, Haleem.